This is the Action Filmmaking Decoded Podcast. A podcast dedicated to raw action analysis.
Ooh, my gosh. For fans of action cinema out there, how badass would that be?
Each week, we bring you a new action filmmaker to break down your favorite scenes.
360 off person, round kick the guy from a 360 spin.
Now, introducing your hosts, Darren Tun and Mike Messina.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Action Filmmaking Decoded Podcast. I'm your host, Darren Tun, and with me is my co-host, Mike Messina.
Hello.
Today, we have part two of Todor Lazarov. If you haven't seen part one yet, go check out part one. It's a lot about his backstory and a little bit of RRR in there. But today, we are covering mostly his role as an action designer on RRR. So stay tuned for that. Mike, what are some big takeaways from this episode?
Yeah, so that iconic RRR action set piece, the prison break, where one character is stacked chicken fight style on the shoulders of the other. We got a little bit about how they were able to pull that off, the complex rigging that had to be done, as well as some of the resulting back issues and back pain that the performers had from filming those pieces.
Yeah, because if I remember that scene correctly, they had to... So he had to sit on top of his shoulders and they had to rig it so they both flip together.
Yeah, and all these different circumstances and axes of rotation. So they had more than one style of rigging for that. There were multiple different setups.
Yeah, because there's one part of the sequence where they flip onto the... What was that structure?
Yeah, on that guard tower with a roof on it. And they flip up on the platform, but under the roof, which means that they did not have a wire hanging vertically up and down. So it would some crazy magic, crazy math that they have to do.
Chopped it into like three different moves, and each one had to be like a different rigging setup, you know, to move that way. It's really interesting stuff. So yeah, for me, my favorite part was him talking about Governor's Mansion fight, where they had that carriage flip. And it's something so big that you feel like they had to have done some kind of crazy rigging for. But when he told us it was a hand pull, I was like, that's crazy. Because, you know, you normally do hand pulls for like, you know, if someone's running and then, you know, they need to be pulled back or something like that. But for an entire carriage, that's crazy. And he said they had to have like a lot of people on set just pulling the carriage over. And it literally just flipped over camera. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's like ancient Greece over there. They're flipping over horse-drawn carriages and pulling on ropes.
Yeah, a lot of the tricks he kind of breaks down in this episode. So I'm really excited to see that.
I loved hearing about that iconic prison break sequence where we have Ram stacked on top of Beam's shoulders as they fight. Such an insane concept as they go from fighting people hand to hand, which is one thing, and then going to having a shootout with people as they're stacked on top of each other. Juju really got into some of the complex rigging setups that they had, and there were multiple because they were flipping in all these different directions, all these different axes of movement. And then he also talked about some of the back problems that the actors had after filming this for a while.
Beam is strong.
He is. Strong lower back. Strong lower back.
All right. Without further ado, here is Todor Lazarov.
I was going to jump back to the bridge rescue sequence as well. Just in general for that sequence, I'm not sure how much you did for that sequence in particular, but if you could give us a breakdown of that as well before we jump into more specific questions about it.
For this one, not much, because there was one team from Mumbai, the rigging team.
Yeah.
Because everything was just the rigging stuff. And then the rest with the train and everything, there was VFX. So there wasn't, from my point of view and my perspective, I wasn't required there.
Okay.
How about the horse portions of this scene? And I know there were some horse sort of rigs used that
like
were then
CGI
over as well later on to simulate a horse for the final stop by the bridge when they jump over the edge. But were you involved with the horses at all?
That was the one sequence I was supposed to go, the first one.
Yeah.
okay.
That was the sequence I was supposed to go there, but I sent a friend of mine. I recommend a friend of mine. I didn't send him. Let's be clear.
Gotcha.
I just recommend, and he went there and helped them, so they did that.
That's awesome.
He did a good job.
What was Ram's experience with horses before this? Like, would you say that he was well experienced?
he can ride horse very well. He been riding, he has a horses in Hope. So he been riding horses for many years.
Oh, wow.
He is really, really good on horses.
Mm. Okay.
Really good.
So there wasn't much instructing or training you really had to do at all?
No.
Wow.
He's very good on horse. So he has a lot of previous movies. He has a lot of things on
horse riding scenes.
Horse riding scenes. Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah.
And so were horses the only other live animals that were on set?
And the dogs.
Oh, right. And the dogs.
Yeah. To simulate the other animals.
To simulate, yeah. Some, but no, actually, especially in the big sequence where the animals coming out of the cage. There was how is called this? The small cars.
The miniature cars?
Yeah, this one, the with joystick. How was the
RC cars?
RC cars. We were using this with the flag on it, and they were like chasing us. So we were doing some stuff when they
like a small version of that, or like a
small ones. Small RC. Awesome. So that's what that's what we were using for the animals.
Oh wow!
Interesting.
That's crazy.
One of the sequences, especially the one when he's jumping out with the animals,
mm-hmm.
that sequence, they did it like they first draw the animals and then they were setting up the camera and everything, how exactly and which where he's supposed to stand and how he's supposed to appear.
Mm-hmm.
They were already creating the animals were there, but they were on the camera.
Mm.
It was crazy experience. Yeah, wow. Very crazy experience.
So they shot each animal individually, or how did that work?
I don't know how exactly works, but I saw it how they matching because they already had the sequence. They the VFX.
Mm-hmm.
They had the sequence, and the animals were there, mm-hmm. and then just he was, but I don't know how to explain exactly.
Oh yeah, and then
it
he jumped
VFX.
In that,
it was some VFX things, but it was very interesting actually.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So actually, that's actually our next sequence that we wanted to jump into, the tiger fight scene at the governor's place. Tell us more about that, I guess, and your role there, and what that was like to shoot that whole sequence.
The with the animals,
the animals and that huge governor's palace area.
Oh my god! Actually, the set was that big.
Oh really? Wow.
Yeah, the set was with the door and everything. The first wall, the front wall, and everything on the side. It was. Create it was there, it was set, it was actual set.
Wow.
With the it was actual set. It was crazy. It was absolutely crazy with all the statues and everything. Oh my god.
Wow.
Yeah, that was,
it was a lot to take in for sure.
There's
that big flaming cart flip scene as well halfway through as another character entrance. What was that like? How did y'all achieve that?
So with the cart, when the cart is flipping and he's jumping off the that's an interesting story. First they did one cart, and the day when we're supposed to shoot this, there was something they didn't do well, so we have to cancel this shoot, and then we went back for this shoot on the next day. Of course, the same day we shot something else, but on the day when we're supposed to shoot, the director didn't like it, and he says, "No, I don't want this. I need that particular thing." Mm-hmm. So we didn't shoot this sequence, and we shot something else. And on the next day, they prepare the things what he wants to do. And on the next day, we did that with the cart. There was, I have a video somewhere, but because the cart was pretty heavy, and there was a hand pulls. We were turning the cart with hand pulls.
Oh, really?
And we had,
How many guys had to hand pull the cart for that size?
I, I need to find somewhere the video. I thought there was so many guys.
Yeah.
But yeah, because I don't remember that time the ratchet, what happened with the ratchet. I don't, there was some issue with the ratchet. So we didn't have time to fix the ratchet, and then we're supposed to do it with hand pulls.
Yeah.
So wow. It was pretty hard. It was hard, but it,
that's crazy.
At the end, it did well. So.
So it was a pull like over the cart. So like you guys pulled from one end and then one side was pivoted and then.
So there was a, it was that. So yeah. It was, it was pivot on the ground. And then we going like this, right? From mm-hmm. here, you're just going like this.
Yeah.
Like this, mm-hmm. on the spot. And wow. It's like 1, 2, 3, 5. We did like, I don't know how many takes we did. We didn't do much, but we did like 4 or 5. I don't remember anymore.
Wow. And it was on fire too. Does that change things?
It was on fire. Oh yeah, of course. Yeah. It was on fire, but not again. Again, it wasn't like a big fire. Mm-hmm. Actually, it wasn't that small.
It wasn't big. It wasn't small either.
Yeah. I was looking at that's pretty big fire compared to some of the other ones.
After that, they extended on VFX more.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So just for reference, right?
But again, even for reference, I remember now it was a big fire, actually. Mm-hmm. Actually, it was a big fire. Now I remember. Yeah. It was a small one.
So jumping into the actual fight, when both of them start fighting for the first time, what was that like? And like their fighting styles and like trying to choreograph something around that?
Yeah, they seem kind of contrasting in their styles for sure.
There was one guy from, I forgot. I was with the camera. I was the camera guy.
Oh, awesome. Okay. That's incredible. Yeah.
I was with the camera. I forgot the name of the choreographer. Especially they brought a choreographer for this scene because they wanted to see something different as a style. Wow, why I forgot his name? Damn. I'm so sorry, my friend.
We'll put it in here. We'll put it in here when we have it.
Yeah, that movie magic. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the movie magic. But it was and actually they did so well. We just did 2 takes.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, because it was one shot. The small one. There was a one piece of it. So with the rolling and everything, he's jumping on him, grabbing the arm, drawing down.
Yeah.
Just 2 takes. Done.
Damn. That's crazy.
They were very, very
fast.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, definitely.
Yeah. So I guess from a camera's point of view, since you did more of the camera work for that scene, what was that like? Because I saw like a lot of the shots, they're very still and they kind of like move and some of them are panning or some of them are really smooth, like dolly shots and like in and out. But then that one shot where he's grabbing him and then I think he does like the arm bar or something like that, he takes him to the ground, it was all handheld. So like
that was me.
Yeah, you mix up like different styles, like you have like a couple different things, like mixing the handheld with the smooth camera motion. Like what is that like, contrasting camera styles?
That's the thing, they just wanted to do something different again. Mm-hmm. I will mention the director and the DOP.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to go out of the box, so and mm-hmm. they did it. They trying so many different things. For example, there was a one sequence where the director wanted to do a handheld. The DOP, he says, we might using just the crane, maybe mm-hmm. to looks better. And then at the end, we end up, we did one handheld and one with the crane.
Nice.
So yeah, and then they mixed it.
Oh, it was like awesome.
Something like this. So they always trying to bring something more interesting to keep the audience more like focused mm-hmm. on what's going to happen. Okay, now it's not only smooth and blood movement, then now it's just this, now it's just that. Mm-hmm. There was a one sequence where it's again, one shot, the tiger jump over the beam and beam is sliding underneath. There is mm-hmm. a one small portion where it's a one shot.
Right.
I might spend one week to think how we can do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because the DOP, he wanted to do it with the crane only, to use just the crane and everything, so we can stitch it all around and then wiping, stitching or whatever it's for one shot. Mm-hmm. And it looks really nice. And mm-hmm. it looks really, really nice. So what I wanted to say they really, really wanted to improvise. They wanted to try some different styles, different movements, different. Everything was like this.
Wow, that's amazing. And like when it comes to like the grappling portion where you shot all that on handheld, do you have any like specific tips for like how you make that look kinetic? Because I know a lot of people do grappling, like we've seen it in the John Wick films and whatnot. But this was like a very different style where you kind of followed it and you kind of went with the action and you're kind of on top of them and you're moving around like different angles and stuff like that. Do you have any tips or ways that you kind of make that look more kinetic, the energy of it?
First, when they showed me the fight, I was like, okay, see how it looks on the camera. And I tried a few different angles. Mm-hmm. But then, of course, again, the DOP always will come to me and talk to me. And then at the end, we meeting in the middle. And then we, at the end, I always trying to follow them. It's always, for me, what is more important, I always, doesn't matter if I know I'm right, I always respect their thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's a collaborative effort.
The director, doesn't matter. Yeah. It's their movie. I can just help them. I'm not there to argue with them. So most of the time, I always been, if I, even most of the time, I ask first. Mm-hmm. I asking them first, the OP or the director, and then I'm doing what I, if they say it's okay, do what you feel it's good for you, just do it. Mm-hmm. But for this particular one, I had one or two thoughts from the DOP. Okay, can you come a little bit higher here? Can you, when you move it this way, can you go a little lower? Mm. So, yeah.
Awesome. We also love when, so I know at the end of the grappling sequence, it kind of stops with Beam throwing the other guy against the wall of the statue. And it always sticks out to me. He leaves a his head makes the impact and he leaves a mark on the white marble of the statue. Can you talk about incorporating the environment into the fight scenes? I know later on or perhaps before this, they also used the sort of chain railings as a weapon a few times.
I think there was like a railing that he used, and then he at the end like he hits him on it, and then like all these practical effects like that are on set.
For example, the chain with the chain and the like, because I was like, where was that? And I start thinking, where was that? Where is in the movie was that? Yeah. I was like, okay, let me think, where was this? And then, of course, the director wanted them to look not exactly like superheroes, but sometimes just something, a bit, to show that they can be a superhero. Mm. So that's why with the chain and then with the... So it was, that was like... more to show the audience that they're a little more than just the regular fighters. They have some, a little something, a little something. But that's because I think from my point of view is because the Indian audience, they want their heroes to look more like a heroes, not only just a regular fighter, you know? Always should put some spice on it. Otherwise, it's like... Only a regular fight is not really...
They want that superhero kind of like element.
Some elements to put on it, and then that's the one of the things.
Yeah. I love that sequence.
And I love how gruesome some of the shots can be with what we see. There's one portion with the guard's arm getting caught in the antlers of one of the animals. Something that you came up with, or is that something that y'all always wanted to do?
When the director was telling me about this sequence, because again there was a handheld again. He wanted to do it more like a messy, to look more like a messy. But they cut it half of the sequence. There was a more of this. It was crazy fight actually deer. Deer. Oh my god! Oh yeah!
And all had to be cut. God.
It was crazy, but they cut it.
Wow!
They cut it. Most of the, like, probably 80% of the sequence they cut.
Wow.
But, yeah, the guy, he's a stuntman from Hungary. I brought him to the to that. He did it great.
He played the deer or the guy?
He played the guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the English officer.
Yeah.
The asshole, the bad guy.
Yeah. He was, like, one of the main bad guys in that film.
Yeah, he did well. He did so good. Yeah,
that's another thing that I love about the movie is how many of those smaller, minor characters are there, even to the point where it's only one or two shots sometimes that they're in, but they just give a little more texture to it. I noted some of my favorites later on, but it's something that I haven't seen done that well probably since Die Hard, maybe, which is famous for its henchmen characters, but great extra little character beats there. And so, to Darren's point before, is his arm behind the scenes caught in something practically? Is someone grabbing onto the arm? Is it on a rig?
So there was a moat with hooks and everything. So there was a guy who was playing the...
Nice.
And then, of course, there was a prosthetic here.
So for his arm, with the head of the deer,
and there was a guy who was controlling the head of the deer.
There was a shot in there that it looked like it was from the perspective of the deer. Like it looked like it was just like a shot from like his arm and like the deer right there. Like camera was like almost mounted on the deer.
Yep.
Yeah, that added a lot of energy to it. I was like, wow, that was a cool scene.
But it was again, it was a big, it was like a 1 minute sequence.
Yeah. Is there any, do we have any hope of seeing the rest of those sequences that were cut?
I don't know how.
Gotcha.
Now they're doing making. They will release the making soon.
Oh, really?
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I really hope they can, because a few weeks ago, the RRR marketing called me to send them some footage.
For the making of.
So I really, really hope that they, because they asked me for some footage that I did as a previous, but we never used it. We never saw it on the movie. And also some of the previous I did, he was like, oh, okay, let's do something else. So
wow.
Was budget ever a concern? Because I'm thinking in shots that require that much CG, maybe budget is just a concern where they can't fit
whatever
the,
you can think of your
just
imagination
you got, they're willing to
it's
do
just it's just like for the movie everything is the best for the movie.
Love it.
Wow. Love it. That's amazing.
I have a tiny question for the sequence. There's that beautiful, there's that great character moment where the key goes flying out of Beam's hand and he's stuck on the chain and he's sort of swinging in and out of focus for the camera, and then the key is just bouncing onto that sewer grate before it falls in. Did y'all just point the camera at a sewer grate and then throw a key a bunch of times, or is there any more magic that happens there?
So I remember that. I don't remember what was the key. I think it was CG.
Oh, really?
Oh, okay.
That does make sense. Yeah.
I think it was so perfectly going in.
Yeah.
I was there, but I don't really remember. They've been playing that much with key. But might be because, again, he's like the director. He's so creative, and sometimes he wants to do actual things, not only to use CG or something.
Yeah.
So they might try it a few times with the actual key.
That's awesome.
Actually, that's a good question. I will ask him.
You'd be like, that one key.
The real question.
Remember that one key?
I will ask him.
Let's go to the final finale.
Yeah. Can you speak a little bit about
the
chicken? Yeah. One on top of the other. What was that like?
This one was crazy. This one was absolutely crazy. Madness. Who can think about this first? It's so creative.
Yeah.
So creative. It's just like to think about. So it was hard for to execute all this stuff because, for example, how they will move, and they will, you should do a lot of rigging stuff, a lot of things. So we did a lot of rigging stuff. We really did. But also there was the one mount, like there was a two guys on the back, they pushing the guy and he's sitting on the, on like, it was very interesting. Two let's say, know how to explain. We asked it and they did it. When they're both when Beam is on top of Ram is on top of Beam. Beam was sitting on the there was a chair with on the back with very interesting system. Very interesting. I don't know, like a cart. It was like a cart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was he wasn't really running. He was he was just sitting down, and then they were pushing him.
Yes, and he was like, because he was heavy. Even sometimes when we were where we can put a line. So of course he was on a line, but you cannot use that big line. So we were a truss or something, especially for the six way. Both of them jumping from the
tower. Yeah,
the tower. We used how many meters was the truss? 60 feet.
Wow!
It was long, big ass truss. Like
that's crazy.
And that's when they're jumping off of the tower, over the wall. Mm. So how I've been wondering this since I've seen it. When they do the flip on top of the platform, and then they somehow land perfectly. But then they're also going underneath a roof. So I'm thinking, I don't know where a line or a rig would be there. What was the process there for making that visually?
That was the hard part. This one was very, really hard. We work on this rig for a week.
Wow.
Almost a week. Yeah, because it was like what the director wants is to was like, okay, first they jumping off the tower, right? Then they grabbing the pole of the light, and they go over the wall.
It sounds crazy, yeah.
they jumping and then they landing perfectly on the. That was really hard. We work almost a week for the rig, then we practice, and then there was a small accident actually.
Really,
one of the double for Ram, he injured.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because while they were in the air, something happened with the crane. And the crane collapsed. Not the crane. There was something happened with the crane rope, how is called this? The
cable or?
Cable. Yeah. Something broke. I don't know what broke. And then the whole system fell. The good thing was the system fell on the lamp.
Yeah.
I mean, again, but it was not that much. But again, it was like he injured a little bit.
Yeah, that's and crazy. Then,
oh my God! It was like, how we can do it again now?
when you're designing a rig like that, where do you start? Because I mean, they're obviously on top of each other, and you probably have harnesses on each of them somehow, and then you probably have like cables coming out of each, but then they have to stay attached to each other, right?
Yeah, they need to move one thing.
Them with the cables, so they're like
okay.
It was a crazy system, actually. It was a crazy system. Because also they need to move like this. They need to. Oh my God! And now I remember it was just like we were trying first with how they will stay together, how exactly we will do it, and. Once you have it attached for the rig, right, on the top, then one guy, second guy, then they both are attached. Then you have another two ropes who is holding them like this. It was crazy, like.
Because if they're turning like this, you have to have like a middle point, right, where you're kind of holding them in the middle where they're turning around.
And this is with the turning point. Oh my God.
Wow.
Is it one rig or do you have multiple different rigs for the different motions?
Different shots. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a one shot from the start to the landing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Gotcha.
The one rig.
For the whole sequence as well, even before that, do you have different versions or iterations of the rig or is it just one tool that you're using the whole time?
No, different. Always different. Something different.
Right.
Depends of the sequence.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yeah.
And so before they jump off the tower, when they climb up, then they flip on top. Is that the same? That's also a rigged practical stunt when they go onto the tower.
It's a practical stance from the bottom.
Yeah. They're going over. Yeah, they flipped over. Yeah.
Yeah, over. That was really hard. That was really, really. That was also a very hard one. That even this one might be more harder than the other one.
Oh, yeah, really? That one confused me. I could not figure out. So they're not suspended from above, or are they suspended from above?
They are. They are. We used one, two, three, I think 4 points of different. Everyone okay. And everything is handheld, and everyone's pulling on the right hand time. It was crazy.
We need to see some pictures. I know we just keep asking you to describe I wanna really see difficult the setup. Shapes here.
Yeah. I need to see if I have pictures, and I have some videos to send it.
Yeah, that'd be great. Would be amazing.
That sounds real interesting.
Yeah, I will check. I will check, and I will send, especially from this rig.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
That would be awesome.
I love how throughout this fight, they go from going hand to hand to eventually just picking up guns and then turning it into a gunfight. Was either portion more interesting to you personally to see them either fighting hand to hand versus with the firearms?
Who? Them?
Yeah, yeah.
Hand to hand, I mean, they were both good with the fights. They really wanted to do it. And bare hand or with guns and everything, they're just like, okay, give
gotcha. Up. Gotcha. And was there a portion that you enjoyed watching more with the guns or without the guns?
For me, I was enjoying everything with them.
Yeah. Okay.
That's the right answer. That's the right answer.
Yeah. Yeah.
More than this.
I saw he had so much flexibility when he was like leaning over and doing a lot of those gunshots, and he was like moving in ways where I was like, man, how is he balancing on his shoulders and leaning back, you know, and shooting the guys and then coming back around like that. That was really cool.
They were on the ropes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Even on the ropes, a lot of times Beam was complaining about his neck.
Oh, really?
There was because a lot of times they're running, they're doing something, and some of the guys, because everything is on the hand, and when Ram is on top of Beam, they trying to hold it, right? Because you cannot, you should have the feeling and on the arm, so... Sometimes you're going down, you're going up, so we need a hand for this.
Yeah.
And sometimes he's carried the ram because the guys cannot feel the ropes, right? Mm-hmm.
The weight, yeah.
The way, yeah. The way, wow. So...
Props to Beam for that, honestly.
Yeah. He was like, oh my God. And he was like, Juju, brother. Oh.
He's really that strong in real life.
He's strong. He's a strong guy. They both are strong.
Yeah.
Actually, that's the other thing. They both give so much.
Mm-hmm.
They were training. They were doing everything. Mm-hmm. Everything to do it well. Mm-hmm. Everything. Not complaining. Sometimes, of course, they were joking. Oh, no more. I cannot. But always.
They dedicated their all. 100%. Yeah.
Yeah, that was so surprised, because we all know when you go on set and some actors are like, oh,
I don't want to do it. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know that most of the fight and everything they've been doing by themselves. No doubles.
Yeah, I was seeing, I was like, their faces are like the same and they didn't do any face replacement.
Now I remember the first when Ram jumping over the fence, the police station.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many takes he did. I don't know how many takes. So many takes.
Yeah. Yeah. From that, we want to move on to the final forest fight, because I know you probably had a big hand in that one. There's like motorcycle flips. The first thing I wanted to ask was that motorcycle shot where he like kicks the motorcycle, flips over. And I saw in a previs that you had like a very light motorcycle that you're using, and he could just lift it like no problem. So what was that process like?
Actually, that's with the bike. It was very interesting, because when I was talking to the director, and he was like, I want Beam to fight with motorcycle. And I was like, first I thought he's on a motorcycle and fighting. But then, because I asked him, sorry, sir, but can you explain me how it was? He was like, I want him to grab the motorcycle and start fighting. I was like, okay, let me start thinking about it.
Yeah.
And then, I came with idea because he became a little superhero. He'll stop the bike with the leg, and this one it will flip, and I say he'll grab it and then start fighting. You saw the one from the previous, right?
Yeah.
For the actual shoot, it was similar to this one. Then they just built it up on the VFX.
Oh, nice.
But there was another one when he's throwing the bike. It was light. It was like maybe 40 kilos or something like this.
Oh, okay. Not bad. Yeah.
Like actual one. Like
nice. And what was it like trying to design, again, seeing the character influence here? This is a sequence where two characters are finally coming together to work together, this time where both of their legs are working. What is that like? Are there any other considerations because of that story element?
When I was talking to the director and he was giving me some directions, he was like, we have to give both of them same amount of hero moves and no hero time or whatever it is. So if you do something cool for one, you have to think about the other one that he needs to do something like similar, but in a different way. So I've been always trying to give one hero shot for one and then one hero shot for the other one. So that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it was like a setup and payoff, like Beam would do something and then Ram would like finish the guy, and then Ram would do something, Beam would finish the other guy, like exactly. Switching off.
Just wanted to make them both to look like, which has happened actually at the end.
Yeah, it looks great. I saw several shots too where you had both of them in the same frame, but like the one where Beam is like stabbing the guy and then you have Ram jumping, like there's two shots like combined together almost, and they're both in the same shot. Yeah, so that was like a VFX stitch type situation.
Yeah, but this, no, we did it actually. Right? It was,
oh, okay.
Yeah. They both jumping.
At the same time?
Same time, yeah.
Oh, wow. Nice. Oh, awesome.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
This one, it came to my mind. I was I was sitting and then the director asked me, both should do something.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, damn, one, it's really strong. The other one, it's very good with the
bow and everything. Arrow.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. What we can do. And then I start thinking about both of them in the air, do something. And then I proposed the director. He was like, okay, show me. And I did the previous. I show him. He's like, okay, good. When you want them to train?
Let's do it now.
Yeah.
Dope. And I love that contrast between those two and their skill sets in this final sequence. Yeah. Darren, I'm going to kick it to you to see if you want to close out this portion.
Yeah, I wanted to close this out by asking you, I know there's a lot of stuntmen that watch our podcast and they listen in. Do you have any kind of advice for aspiring stuntmen today and what they should do? Like, what are the best qualities of stuntmen and how do they get hired for jobs and stuff like that?
First, you should work hard. That's the only thing can pays off for sure. I can tell from my 25 years of it's not that much because someone has more than me in the industry, but always I've been working so hard. I've been just busting my ass. I've been just rehearsing, training. The only recipe for this is just like when someone, if you're sleeping, someone else rehearsing, you know, it's like, it's the same. It's always like, and be kind. Be nice, be respectful. All these things, it will help you in the industry. Never behave and always work more than, if you are like 100%, give 120. Try to give more than 100, always. But always respect people. Don't be asshole. Mm-hmm. That's
number one rule.
That's the headline. That's the pull quote.
Awesome. Well, thank you for coming on the podcast. We really appreciate your time. This has been a blast and honestly very insightful to a movie that I haven't seen too many behind the scenes from. I loved hearing all these stories that you gave and how you guys really pieced this together. It was incredible.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for having me. Thank you so much. It was a pleasure and honor. Thank you.
If you liked that, please consider supporting us on Patreon at patreon.com/actionfilmmaking and leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. Stay up to date on the show by visiting our website, actiondecoded.com, and by following us on Instagram at actionfilmmakingpodcast. Until next time, thanks for listening.